Members, the Chairperson, we are resuming now. Honorable Malika, we are starting again. Good afternoon, Ms. Miende. Is it Miende? M-Y.
M-Y-E-N-D-E. Okay.
Sunshine. Chairperson, we are starting. My name is Nhlanhla Ncubendaba. I'm the chairperson of the Popular Committee on Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. I'm co-chairing this party with this subcommittee with Honorable Gillion. Is the chairperson of the SEC Committee on Health and Social Affairs. On the visual platform. The chair used the visual platform. Only that now I don't hear myself. The video, I think, is off. The camera is off. So maybe please notify the chair and Honorable Martin that was starting. I will now hand over to honorable members to introduce themselves. Over to you, honorable members.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and a very warm welcome to you to this interview. My name is Leo Lompiti, and I'm a member of this committee.
Ngibonge kakhulu uhlalo ngibingelele ku ngisinyende igama lami uSibili wakamasiko ilunga lekomiti.
Sibonge Chairperson uMbulelo Bharha lelungu lekomiti. Inkosi.
Good afternoon, Mmiende. My name is Alex Chabelin. I'm a member of the subcommittee. Thank you and welcome. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Khosa.
And Gibonga Shalo, Kamala Malami, Musbungila Kaula, member of the committee, Sibingalele, Sibi and Gibonga.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon, Ms. Yende. Tell us some Kweba, member of the committee.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon, Ms. Yende. My name is Witumelo Maluleke, member of this committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Over to you, honorable Malika.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Ms. Miende. My name is Audrey Malika. Ngilunga lale subcommittee. Thank you.
Next to Honorable MPT is Dr. Tembe, our legal person from Parliament. And yes, I'm fine. My mic is on. Ms. Siba is the manager of committees in Parliament. Ms. Nobatana is our committee secretary for the Portfolio Committee on Health, Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. Ms. Zuki Frank is the coordinator for the Select Committee on Health and Social Services in the NCOP. You have 45 minutes with us. Feel free. If you have a stage fright, you know, you have a slow. Especially because I'm a dog, I'm a dog. Follow-up questions when necessary. Hello. We manage to chair this session. Over to you, Honorable Peter.
Good afternoon, Ms. Mandy. I will ask you a question, but also first let me welcome you and ask you to relax. I want you to give us an introduction of who you are, and also why did you think that you will be a suitable candidate to be on the NYDA board in the country.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much, Chair. Greetings to the honorable members of the portfolio committee. Igama lami ngingu Sunshine Minente Miende, as indicated in the resume. Ngiphuma eMzinto endaweni okuthiwa iseMalangeni, eLower South Coast in KwaZulu-Natal. But I recently decided to make a life commitment and become a wife. So I also have a home in the Eastern Cape, eStokspruit endaweni okuthiwa kuseMbili. Yeah, kusemzini wami eMzini, la engimakhothe khona. Thank you, Chair. Growing up from a rural area, yaseMzinto, where I was seeing young people of my age at grade 11, grade 12, dropping out from high school to go look for jobs, some of them becoming taxi drivers, bebango tax assistants, what is commonly known as. It created in me a passion to understand why is that circle of behavior in my area? Why is it that when I get to grade 12, the only thing that I'm subjected to is to go and work and at hotels, become a security guard, or work as a domestic worker in the nearby suburbs? I became inquisitive on that, which to say, what is it that I can do to change that? Because I never wanted to be part of that circle of behavior, which this is what every young person, eMzinto, eMalangeni, falls into. I decided to go and pursue my postgraduate, my studies at institutions of higher learning, where I went to the University of KwaZulu-Natal, to where I did my undergraduate degree in psychology and industrial psychology, where I subsequently did my honors degree in criminology and forensic studies, where I later on did my master's degree in criminology and forensic studies. I'm currently in the early stages of doing my PhD in law, focusing on restorative justice as an alternative justice system to deal with violent behavior amongst young people, and how and what solutions can I bring through my research that will help the country and different sectors to deal with the current violent behavior that is prevalent in schools. At that stage in my life when I went to the university, I understood. So when I left eMalangeni thinking that the only way that is going to take me out of this space is to go get education. When I got to the university, here I
with 500 other young students, other students, that majority of them are white, they're Indian, and those that are black, mabekhuluma kunethweng, there's a different kind of English abayikhulumayo engafani yam leya sesihle high school le uthisha ayifundisayo ngesiZulu ebehlanganisa neEnglish. So at that point in my life, having to have a white lecturer or an Indian lecturer, which had its own disadvantages, to say, how do I, as a rural young girl in an institution of higher learning, how am I going to survive? That created in me to be inquisitive, to say, okay, how do I change this? What is it that I can do to ensure that other young rural girls are able, firstly, to go to the university or even to succeed in this particular space, which is a very space that doesn't allow a black woman to survive in. That being inclusive in that nature, it allowed me to go around asking, what is it that we can do to change this? With that, I then decided to join a progressive structures at the university that spoke about how do we enable the black child to survive in institutions of higher learning. I joined SASCO, which I then later on became a lead in as a treasurer of the branch for two consecutive terms. In my last term, I was then deployed to be in the SRC, which is a constitutional body that represents students in the university. I was deployed to become the deputy president of the SRC. At that stage of my career, I contributed immensely in ensuring that the university puts in place policies and regulations that ensures that gender-based violence doesn't happen in institutions of higher learning. Because at that time, during my leadership days, there was a high prevalence of girls, of students that were being abused in residences, be it rape, be it physical abuse from their boyfriends. Because there's this fat and sit that happens in universities that maybe along my interviews I'm going to elaborate on, and the different disadvantages that it brings. I then contributed to that to say, what policy can we put in place as a university through working with different divisions that were there. And also at that time in my life, I was given an opportunity to speak, to sit in different boards that were looking at how do we transform the curriculum, how do we change the curriculum to better suit the needs of a black child and better ensure that a black child is able to access and be able to succeed in the space. Subsequently, I then, after finishing my honors degree and finishing my term of office, I began my career as an intern at Thala Development Finance Group, Thala iBhanga lethu laseKZN. I did my internship there in the Human Resource Division in the Change Management Unit. My main roles there entailed doing desktop research for the organization, to say an organization is bringing in a new system which is going to change how employees work, which means they're not going to be paper-based. Now, majority of the work is going to be on systems. So my work was to say, what mitigating factors can I put in place, and what does research say when it comes to introducing change in the organization, and how can the organization find value in a change in changing systems, or how things ought to work in an organization. So that was my work, and doing administrative work in the office. I think one would be privileged to say that a value in me participating in that particular internship, which is not the case with many young people in South Africa. Maybe along my interview, I'm going to speak on how internships can be better professionalized to increase or to equip young people in South Africa. So 11 months later, I joined the National Youth Development Agency. Okay, thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Honorable Chair, I will take hands for you.
The first one will be Honorable Mam Kaula, strictly 5 minutes. Honorable Mugweba, Honorable Epaka, Honorable Masiko, Piti, Mam Kaula, yeah, the last.
Should that look? Thank you, Lalo. Gibonga, ngibonge nje nangendlela osuchaze ngayo uyakhombisa ukuthi u-90 Miss Miende nabantu besifazane nabakhubazekile bagcwele emaplazini bayaxhaphazeka. Kukhunjuzwa into enye manje ngiyabonga nje mangobe nawe usuke emzinto. Khona indawo la ngapha kuthiwa ise-roundabout. La sibone khona imanga angeze ngathinta u-chairperson we-portfolio committee ngimtshele ukuthi asikakasebenzi fana sisebenze as member of parliament. La sibone khona abantu bakithi ukuthi bayahlupheka. Abakhubazekile bakhona laphayana begugula bakwazi ngisho ukuya ey'bhedlela, iy'ngane ey'ncane fana abe ziyafunda yifunde ngicoshe emgqonyeni zindlu abahlala kuzona abantu besifazane indlela abahlukumezeka ngayo kulela pulaza lewamlungu kanjalo nasemangethe kanjalo lokho kodala khumbuzo ukubona e-Eastern Cape eMdansane nalapho kwakubona khona ugogo uma ungena athi usuzongirepha yena ehlala ney'ngane. Ngifuna ukubuza-ke ukuthi nje ukubala nje ukuthi iy'ngane uma yiqeda esikoleni ngabe u-matric ziyahamba lezi ngane zithole sezibe abasizi bamatekisi ezinye zigcwile lapha emobeni ngiyibonile ezinye igcina sezingene kwizidakamizwa. Uma university ezusho uthi uma ufikile mhlawumbe esiyile khona ngendlela ukuthi khona isikhathilela siya kuzona mhlawumbe mabazoba nalela ukhetho labo uzoyithola ngento eyi-one nje ukuthi lapha ngaphakathi kwazona zikho safety ziyareshwa amacala ayavulwa kodwa lawo macala kuboshwa umuntu nalobo umuntu okade emrephile ukuthi othi ukhona lapho. Akesithi-ke wena uyakwenza ngephutha uyangena kule muntu umehluko ozokwenza ukuthi laba bantu akuthiwe nizokuyibhodi futhi i-NICA iselezindaweni ashile zemaplazini zemakhaya iko-Eastern Cape Pulukwana kwenza sure ezingane zoko nabantu abakhubazekile bayakwazi ukuthi bavikeleke nalaba bana othola ukuthi banawo even abantwana besikola bawavulayo kodwa bayakwazi ukuthi eyi khona umehluko-ke manje ukuthi sekhona le bodi iyakwazi ukuthi labantu abangaphansi babo bethi zofuna iripoti hhayi into ebhalwe ephepheni into ozosho udade usendaweni ethize nokuya njebaqashisa kuthi khona umuya ngoje okwakusiza bani. Ngiyabonga.
Ya, okay. Ngiyabonga kakhulu ngombuzo Mam Kaula. One thing that I admire myself to have is expertise in research. So the first thing engizoyenza address those myths is to understand the fundamental causes of that. Uguti, why are young people being, but why the sentence is dagamizwa, and what are the causal factors of abuse in that area? Kunento okuthiwa ngama Thuthuzela centers. That is a working relationship between the social development and the national prosecuting authority. So the first thing that I ensure that I do is to put in policies and frameworks and service level agreements between the NYDA, social development, and the national prosecuting authority to say that services must, young people must, or people in that area must be made. They must know of those particular services. Go to Koninda or Thuthuzela Center where you can go and get help at any given point in time. But also improve the functioning of those services. How am I going to improve that? To provide, to do research, customer feedback to say, I went to this Thuthuzela Center and this is the kind of services that I got. But also, I don't know if my time is up. Oh, and also, Mam Kaula, to say, to and also professionalize, train staff as a servant at Thuthuzela centers. Because one of the fundamental problems that as young women were facing when we go report cases of gender-based violence or rape is the treatment that we get from authorities. So there's also that part where there's a need.
Can you repeat the video for the country?
If I can. Okay, so there's a need of professionalizing and training staff, constant training of staff to say this is how they ought to treat people that come into their Thuthuzela centers. But also, Mam Kaula, on issues of abantu abahlala in the farms. My proposal mainly, I don't think that as young people we deserve only to work in the farms. So I deserve to own a farm mobile. So how am I going to do that? I'm going to ensure that I put in place partnerships with CETAs like AgriCETA to train young people to own farms, to run farms, and also put in place different funding institutions to say, these are young people that have been trained to run farms, sugarcane farms, and the production thereafter, because sugarcane ngumoba okhipha ushukela ekugcineni. How do I create a value chain of saying umoba usuplantiwe? How do I take it ukuze kube ne finished product oshukela? Emzinto, we have a place okuthiwa yisezela where we manufacture ushukela. So my role would be to ensure through partnership with AgriCETA to say train these young people after they've been trained. They're able to plan for themselves, and they own this particular farms. That's why there's a need for us as young people to have land, so that we're able to farm in this particular area. Safety in varsities, Mam Kaul, as I alluded earlier, that I participated in drafting of the policy of ensuring that a university becomes a safe space for young women. So my role in that to then to be to say universities, to other universities outside of UKZN, to ensure that those policies are in existence, and how do such policies get implemented. We have in universities what to call RMS, the Rescue Management Services. How are they trained when I go there to report that man just raped me? So it's one of the things that one would put in place and ensure that SRCs as representative bodies are trained to deal with this particular cases and be there to lobby to ensure that universities become safe space for women.
Thank you very much.
Can you
repeat the question?
Okay, so I spoke to there's two. There's a web platform, and there's the software itself. So I told them to use the web platform in order for the auto video switch. so that whoever is speaking must also speak to display this video.
Yeah.
But on their TV, like using the web platform, and it was working pretty fine. But people are auto switching. I told them in the morning that can they use the same platform on Facebook so that we can auto switch. I haven't got any response from them.
Yeah,
but I'm also watching it on YouTube and also the mainstream.
On the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And also on the Facebook channel as well, the candidate is also not visible. And also, Jay, it seems that the previous interview, the same situation happened where they could hear the voice of the candidate. Yeah. See the face, yeah.
You hear the voice.
What is the mandate of the NYDA and its functions?
Ngiyabonga. Maybe I think when I was still trying to explain who I am, I got cut. I'll touch on that in my later life, then I joined the National Youth Development Agency, where I then understood the main mandate of the NYDA. For me, the mandate of the NYDA is initiate, coordinate, lobby, and advocate for youth development throughout private sector, government sector, and other sectors, non-governmental sectors. But however, in order for this particular mandate to be put in place, there are 4 to 5 thematic areas that it's called competency, the effectiveness or the functions. Firstly, is the economic participation of young people. Then, therefore, the mandate of the organization will be to initiate, coordinate, lobby, and advocate for the economic participation of young people. Currently, the NYDA is doing that through the grant program, which for me is currently not sufficient. But maybe when you have a follow-up question, I'll dwell on that area. Secondly, the NYDA has a mandate to create social, to lobby and advocate and initiate programs that create social cohesion and nation building through the National Youth Service amongst young people. In that way, young people are encouraged to be patriotic and are encouraged to be patriotic and are encouraged to participate in democratic processes of the country and be patriotic about their country. In that way, the NYDA puts in place programs like working with IEC to ensure that young people go register to vote, to participate in the democratic processes of the country, and also practice social cohesion through partnering with different sectors. Thirdly, the NYDA mandates the NYDA to put in place policy research and development within the sector. In that way, the NYDA is mandated to come up with the integrated youth development strategy, which is an enabler of the national youth policy. Also, the NYDA is mandated to come up with a national youth fund, which is an important fund for it to be able to facilitate some of its core businesses and functions to better improve the livelihood of young people in South Africa. Also, the NYDA is mandated to ensure or to train and develop young people in South Africa. Bearing it in mind that the existence of NYDA is not necessarily on businesses, on grants, it has an overall mandate of developing young people in South Africa. So I think from my understanding of the act of the NYDA, that is the core business and the existence of the National Youth Development Agency. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, in that order.
Okay. Thank you, Sisi, for the explanation that you've provided. But for me, I just need to put across two questions that I think would assist us in placing you in whether you are able to do what is required in terms of this interview or not. Do you foresee any signs of economic breakthroughs for young people? And if you do, what should be done to address youth unemployment? Because I think for me, those are the key questions that you should be able to respond to, which would place you on whether you'll be able to assist us in what we're trying to achieve or not. Thank you, Chairperson.
Ngiyabonga, honorable member. So this is how I categorize young people in South Africa. Then from there, that's when I'll derive my answer on what are the solutions, what are the proposed, what are my solutions. So there's the uneducated youth, there's the unemployed youth, there's the unemployable youth. And so then one would say, what economic opportunities then one would then suggest or strategies that one would want to put in place to deal with the above mentioned. Upon the announcement by the President Cyril Ramaphosa in his State of the Nation address, where he identified thematic areas that he is in his term of office that he's going to focus on, one of the fundamental things that one picked up as a young person is that this particular administration is going to have tangible outputs in the sense that he's going to create economic opportunities that are going to see young people entering into. So for me, economic opportunities for young people are going to come in those following sectors. How am I going to do that? As a person that has worked in the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy and have had the exposure of understanding that particular space, I would ensure that I do partnership and service level agreements with different mines, bearing it in mind that mines have an obligation to meet certain percentages within the business that they do. So understanding that also mining is not about the drilling and extracting of mines. There's a chain of business that happens there. What I would do, I would take as a custodian of young people in South Africa, I'll ensure that I take a certain cohort of young people, train them through the Mining Qualifications Authority to get the relevant skills for them to be able to participate in that. Because it's one thing for me to say young people must enter into the mining space, young people must get into the land space without skilling them. So my role will be to partner with the relevant sectors to say train those 100 young people so that when a particular mine, as one would know maybe from a point of privilege, that there's going to be a mine that is going to be opened in KZN at a particular time, I would take young people, 100 of them, train them on to run a mine and how to do certain businesses within the mine. And then when that particular time, when that mine is being opened, and then the young people have the relevant skills to work in that area. The second part that one would want to focus on when given an opportunity to be in the NYDA board is to draft policies and frameworks and partnerships and service level agreements with the energy space, within the energy space. We have young ambitious to be seen when the government is introducing the independent power productions to say want to participate into that space. How do I get to be in the energy space? How do I get to own a garage? Then one would ensure that I would take those particular young people, put in frameworks and policies that says as energy sector, I have 100 young people that I want you to train so that they're able to participate in the growing economy. Thirdly, Chair, one of the things that one will do is within the agricultural sector. La engikhuluma khona, Chair, kuyatshalwa. Umuntu nomuntu unengadi yakubo ese backyard where I'm able to plant a green pepper, I'm able to plant tomatoes, I'm able to plant different things. So what one would do as a person ophuma emzindo ukuthi ngihambe nge ka rhino, ka boxer, okuyitolo zangasekhaya and say I've got 4 to 5 cooperatives, people that have planted those particular vegetables. How do you, from the stock that you take, a certain percentage must be given to those young people? Have that agreement to say, ngenyanga ethile, Woolworths oseSportberg, uthatha uavocado wakho no banana wakho from active sunshine no sibahle umnganaki. Those are practical things that one would want to put in place, because I understand if I'm given an opportunity to lead the NYDA board, my main mandate is to advocate, lobby, and initiate programs that improve the livelihoods of young people. So it's one of the things that one would do. Finally, Chair, one area that one is also interested in ensuring that as young people we enter into is a space of imkhumbi. I attended a Kwantal One school, so sometimes English is a second language to me, Zulu becoming the first language. So angiyazi imkhumbi ukuthi. Yes, thank you. So one area that one would want young people to enter into is the AVI, is business, imkhumbi le esiboni iphuma ingena. As a person who's coming from a Durban, which is an economic hub, la esibona khona that has a port, how do I, as a young person, ensure that I people today, ube khona a young person from KZN, or ona umkhumbi who does export and imports in KwaZulu-Natal. It's one of the things that one would want to enter into. But Chair, maybe to expand on this issue, as young people, opportunities are there. Problem is the skill. We don't have the necessary skills that speak to what is needed currently in the economy. So my fundamental role is to ensure that young people are skilled. And young people are going to be skilled through CETAs. That is my proposed solution to it, to partner with skills. Because from my understanding, CETAs have a huge amount of budget that they're sitting with, when on the other side, the NYDA, the custodian of young people, doesn't have enough. So I would really work on partnerships and service level agreements, even with private sector, to go there and say, "Hi, Standard Bank, how are you? You have so much money for youth development. I'm the expert. I'm the one that has been given a mandate to deal with youth development matters. I'm the expert, and I'm the custodian of young people in South Africa. How can we work together to improve and skill young people so that they have the relevant skills, even for growing economies? Because there's a huge possibility of the energy space growing, but us as young people, we don't have that particular skill. So I think, Chair, those will be what I would do. Those are the practical things that one would do, to say, I'll go to ShopRite and check us and say, ShopRite, in your percentage of on fruits that you we have as on Pirates, because at the end of the day, 10 years, 10 guys. What percentage can you take from youth cooperatives? I think for me, that's it for me, Che. Ngiyabonga kakhulu.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you very much, Ms. Nyende, for your responses thus far. You have made mention of the fact for some time with NYDA, and I'm sure that having worked for the NYDA for some time, you would have picked up ukuthi there's a certain perception that young people are having, whether it's perceived or it's real. NYDA is only servicing a certain cohort of young people, whether it could be those who are politically affiliated with a certain political organization, or maybe along certain racial lines, or any other perceptions that are in existence that young people are having. Or whether maybe if you are going to the NYDA, you won't get any form of assistance. What would be your contribution, if appointed to the board, in changing those negative perceptions that young people are having about the NYDA? Thank you.
Honorable Masibo, as a person who served in the NYDA, at some point in my responsibility as an administrator, in my responsibility as a specialist responsible for special programs in the office of the Executive Deputy Chairperson, because that's where I worked, the late Bavelile Hlongwa, we came up with a strategy to say when we're doing our programs, our outreach programs, we're going to have a questionnaire that says, as a young person, you fill in your details, your age, your gender, your racial, and what is it that you want to see the NYDA doing? So that gave us a bit of direct data to understand how young people are reacting towards the NYDA. So to fix the perception of the NYDA, I think young people's frustrations, they come from the fact that they're not able to access the services of NYDA. It comes across as if NYDA is for Sunshine and her friends, because they know Sunshine, they're able to access grants. So one of the things that one would bring is transparency within the organization. Whatever that the NYDA is doing, let young people know of it, be it on how grants are given, or also on the finances and the management of the organization. Because the frustration of young people, we saw it recently with the fund that was given by the president, where young people were complaining on social media that we're getting rejected from the NYDA, we're not getting this money. It was due to the fact that sometimes processes are not well defined and explained to young people. To say this is how you apply for funding. If you're going to get funding, these are the necessary documents that you need to put in place. So one would ensure that the agency is made accessible, because that's a fundamental problem that young people are facing. Increase access of the organization and the tenor and the response time. If I'm not getting the funding because there's a missing document, can there be a turnaround time to say after 2 days or 3 days, it takes long for you to look at a form and look at a supporting document, whether this person would qualify or not qualify. If they don't qualify, what is it that they can do to ensure that the application goes through? So I think those are necessary things that one would want to put in place in ensuring that NYDA is accessible to young people and everyone feels that they are part and parcel of the NYDA. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you again, Ms. Miende, for the response. I'm interested because I know that you have made mention of the fact that you are a PhD student and therefore you know the value of research. In terms of the questionnaires that you have or that you made mention that you were developing, were there any a positive outcome in terms of making an analysis on whether young people are making contributions and inputs in terms of those questionnaires, because you know sometimes I'll go back to the MCN situation in hospitals. You'll be having suggestion boards where requesting community members to write their complaints and put them in the suggestion box. So in terms of the analysis of those questionnaires that you were developing for young people to make their input to the NYDA, was there a process of studying those questionnaires, and if yes, what were the findings? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. From the data that we had collected, one would firstly say that young people say that they don't have some savings with NYDA. In as much as NYDA has done work, but young people, especially in rural areas, they say, abayazi NYDA, nanokuthi ukuthi NYDA yenza. That's the first thing. So, and NYDA over years has ibengathi there's a certain race or group that it covers. It looks like it covers the black people. Yeah, but also the other groups, they don't. Even when we do outreach programs, you never, I think in the outreach programs that we had done, I've never seen a white or Indian. And maybe when we go to the Western Cape, we'll see colored people here and there. But there's been that challenge over time. So one, what one would do in that instance, because there is a gap, because unemployment doesn't affect, in as much as it affects black people in majority, but there are also certain groups like colored, Indian, and some white people that are also prone to unemployment, and not only unemployment, but development as a wall. So what one would do firstly is to do a wide research, and I think that has been one of the gaps of the NYDA, which is research, because when I was there, there was the agents was doing research with UJ, but there were a bit of descriptors in there. So one of the important elements that one would bring in the organization is policy development and research. So that research would then cover how can NYDA reach a larger cohort of young people in different groups and different areas. I think I've tried to respond. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you so much for the insightful comments, Ms. Nyende. I think one thing that I really appreciate about what you've been saying is being able to identify that all young people are important and should be important to the NYDA. And I think the point that you raised, that many young Indian, colored, white, young South Africans are not usually involved in these programs of the NYDA. And I think that's a very great analysis or a great view that you've pointed out. We need to ensure that all young people are involved in the NYDA, whether it is to bring mentorship or experience or really to find that commonality amongst us as young people, because we will be the ones to inherit this country and ultimately lead it. The other important point that is linked to my question is you've raised something that other candidates haven't raised, which is maritime in terms of imports and exports, and also the importance of young people owning land, which I think is a very important observation that you've made. My question is, how will you be able to assist young people who might have no experience to get into maritime, either through you know, who want to be involved in imports and exports? What is the advocacy that you will do in the NYDA, and what type of programs will you create to, you know, give young people an opportunity to get involved in the sector that is very foreign to many young people, and is also seen as a sector that is, you know, that is not for us as young people. So if you can just maybe expand, what will you do? What type of programs, how will it look like so that young people listening here today who are interested in getting involved in shipping and all of these things can hear what your ideas are? Thank you.
Bonga, honorable member, I've been going to Sokuluma since Singapore. It's the expert of Abidi, but it's fine.
John, and I'm wearing his clothes, I'm home.
Oh, okay, I'm the Glindel. John, I'm going to be a powerful. Thank you, honorable. Okay, thank you, Chair. As I said earlier on, that a problem with us, the problem with the youth in South Africa is skills. The problem is skills. That's where it's at. And if we're able to tap into that space, that's when we're going to be able to better improve the livelihoods of young people in South Africa. So the maritime space, how am I going to do it? I want to be very practical as possible, so that that are listening to me are able, when I become the chairperson of the board, to come to me and hold me accountable that on this day, this is what you said. The first thing that I'll do is to ensure that young people enroll in maritime schools. Currently, the maritime schools, the government is not subsidizing that. Ukuzumuntu ahambe efunde maritime fanele abe nemali. So firstly, me as a young person from Umzinto, abazali bakhe abangenamali, I'm not going to be able to go to the maritime school. Secondary to that, then the solution to that would be to say, government must invest or subsidize maritime schools so that I'm able to go giyofunda to do business. Because firstly, in the maritime space, kukhona laba abashayela imkhumbi. I don't know ukuthi amagama okuthiwa yini. Especially high school, I want to teach one course. That word, but it's fine. Kona laba abazida abadriver. Because remember, when the exports, when the goods come into the space, kona laba abazida abazida cleaning. Just part of business within the
two minutes.
And kukhona at some point as young people finally see on imkhumbi. So how do we get that? So the first part would to okay. So the first part, honorable member, would be to school the young people, go to the government as a person that has been given a mandate to lobby and advocate for young people, to say, as government and how do we meet each other? I have the constituency of young people, and you might have the means of funding those particular programs and the private sector, and say, how do we get young people to own I love mines, so I end up most of the time talking about mines. How do young people own imkhumbi, and how do they do business in that? So I think that would be the fundamental space where one would begin. But also do research to say, what other economic opportunities are there within the maritime space? And how does one get to own it? How do I get to be the owner of umkhumbi? Which is a dream that many young people would have, but which is far-fetched for them because of the economy, because of how expensive it is. So I think to conclude on that point, one would have the skills part of the skills development programs, service level agreements with different companies that are currently in the space, that are currently doing business in maritime, to say, part of your what you call it, a social responsibility. How many young people can you take in and mentor so that they're able to directly also participate in that particular business? I think that would be my strategy so far. Thank you.
Thank you,
Miss Mnyende, khona lento le ekhona engeke siyibalekele ukuthi siyisho. Futhi ngiyajabula ukuthi kanti nabo kade ukhona kulela office noma wena ubungekho kwi-board. Leyokuthi NYDA ibhekelela abantu be-organization ethize noma abantu abangani babo noma uthole bona beyicebisile. Okunye ilokhu kokuthi ithuthuzela. Ngokukhuluma ngayo, yes, ikhona. But izo zonke izinto lezo, umphakathi ongazazi. Ngoba noma ungamthatha manje umntwana ahambe kuthi uya kuyona uthuthuzela. Mase buye emuva, akukho umsebenzi afakwa kuwona. Noma kuthiwa okay, nanku kama-skills akunika lo msebenzi. Siyesibona abantu abayi-one, kuyibona ababhenefithayo. Kule mali ofanele abakubhenefitha khona i-youth. Ngempela ngempela awungilaphi lapho sithandwa sami before sidlule. Ngaye ngisakuhlupha ngamanye amaqeshini. Wena sengizulu wasemzini.
Ngiyabonga babukhabula. Okay, as a person that obile NYDA for 2 years, I think the other clean audit was achieved when I was there. I think the days of NYDA being seen as an organization that benefits certain individuals within certain political parties are gone. Why do I say that? The NYDA has proved over time to have good governance. Ethical culture has been instilled in the organization. There are proper financial systems within the organization. And there are relevant committees that sit. They have the risk committee, there's an audit committee, the audit committee, which is...
asidibate angisho thintile ngibuza yena ukuthi njengoba kunaleya nto ukuthi NYDA isebenzela abanye mina ngifuna ukuthi ayisekho noma isiphelile mina ngifuna ukuzwa wena ukuthi makwenze kuyongena kuleya bhodi na isiphi isiqiniseko ozosinikeza sona ukuthi lizosebenzela wonke umuntu wase-South Africa ngale kokubheka ukuthi kuyiphi organization ngale kokubheka ubuhlanga bakhe njengoba kade kushiwo na ngoba izinto lezi zikhona ezihlezi kukhulunywa ngazo ingakho ngathi ngesikhathi sekuthiwa NYDA singena la nathi nami ngiyabonga ngoba kusuya la iyabakhona angaze isiza abantu kunoma isiza abantu ababodwa futhi abangasekho ngisho kwi-age yokuba i-youth. Ngiyabonga.
Okay, ngiyabonga mam Khawule and ngiyabonga ukuthi ungichazele umbuzo wakho again. What I'm going to do when I get elected into the NYDA board or when I get to lead the agency, I value good governance. In my current position, maybe because I'd never got an opportunity to dwell on that, I'm responsible to ensure good governance and create an ethical and efficient leadership. Ngisebenza ka social development, KZN office nika HOD wakhona. So one of my responsibilities there is to ensure that relevant committees sit and good governance is adhered to. So it's something that one would bring into this particular board to say that we must have a board that has integrity, that is culture to say just because my friend has a business and wazi mina, if funding, a grant yakhe must be approved before umntwana ohleli lapha embili just because yena akangazi. So I regard myself as a person with high integrity. I'm a very accountable person. So I'll be able to say that and put in place systems that ensure good governance, efficient leadership, and a leadership with ethical governance. I think that's what is important. The reason why the NYDA has that perception, maybe it has been because of lack of ethical leadership within the organization. So it's one thing that Mam Khawule, I'm going to ensure that all young people in South Africa find expression in the organization, whether they know me or they don't know me or they know my friends or whatsoever, that is not going to happen when I'm there. I regard myself as a person of integrity and very accountable, so I'm going to put in place committees and all relevant structures to monitor the work of the organization. And also, the organization reports to Parliament, which for me is an important aspect that looks at governance and accountability and transparency of the organization. So I would ensure that as a board, we report frequently on our work and provide qualitative work to say, sinisinikezile imali ethile to run the organization. This is a qualitative work that we would have done. Because currently the NYDA is more quantifiable in terms of numbers. We've reached our targets, the numbers are looking good. But qualitatively so, the work has not been much evident. So I think for me, Mam Kaula, that's what I would do. Gabong.
Thank you very much, Ms. Yende.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you very much, Ms. Yende. Is there anything that you want to raise or ask the committee, or whether it's a comment?
Thank you, Chair. Maybe one of the things that one would want to do when they get into the board, which is a very fundamental element that will uplift the livelihoods of young people in South Africa. As young people were expected to have driver's licenses for a mere job as a messenger in the office, in order for one to have a driver's license in South Africa needs one to have, firstly, imali yokuhayirisha i-truck, which is about 800 rand, imali yokwenza ama-lessons, and so forth, which in maximum terms, one would require maybe about 5,000 rand in order for one to have a driver's license. And it's a hindrance to our employability and our chances of being employed because of lack of a driver's license. One would propose through a working relationship with the Department of Transport to say, as a custodian of young people in South Africa, why can't the Department of Transport have a national driving school where young people are going to be enrolled, like young people are enrolled in different academies and different schools, where they're going to be taught how to drive up until the instructor is seen and the person is taken to test on that particular regard to say no, yeah, qualify as a driver's license. I think it's one of the things that one would lobby for when given an opportunity to serve in this board, to say how do we address that particular element of young people not having driver's licenses, which is a very critical thing, which is a very critical skill and a critical thing when you're seeking for employment. But in conclusion, Chair, now that you've given me an opportunity to do that, it is also one of the things that I would do is to professionalize the internships, which is something that as young people we're still stuck on, where we go and do internships, but out of that we come out with nothing. There's no skill, there's nothing that we would have got. At least the department of the DPFA must be able to say, when I've done an internship, this is the certificate that I get that puts me at a different level than how I was before doing that particular internship. So it's one of the things that one, when given an opportunity to serve in the organization, in the agency, would look out for, to say, to better uplift and improve the livelihoods of young people in South Africa, one would engage in those particular service level agreements and partnership with different departments. Because the truth of the matter is that the budget that we get as a day is limited, which limits the scope and the work that we're able to do. So it is very important, it will be very important for me as a member of the board or as a leader of the board to go out there, advocate for young people in different sectors to get funds and opportunities for them to be skilled so that they can relate and work in the economy that all of us are trying to build. I think that would be for me, Chair. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. I never thought of that.